SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Five First Nations scholars were awarded scholarship by Aurora Education Foundation. The fivefold will study at the three of world's most prestigious universities, such as Oxford in the UK. And Oxford is where Malan Hunter-Zini is headed in a month's time to study Masters of Public Policy. Malan spoke to NITV Radio about her studies, her motivation, as well as the need to have more female and First Nations female representatives in the STEM fields. Hello, Malan, and thank you so much for joining us on NITV Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Can you please tell us first more about your people, who they are and where you come from?
Yep. So both my parents are Indigenous. My mum is Indigenous to Australia and my dad is Indigenous to New Caledonia. So on my mum's side, my grandfather, her father is Tiwi and Awadja from Top End of the Northern Territory. And my mum's mum, my grandmother, is from the Cadige and Walpiri peoples in Central Australia. And then my dad, who's Indigenous to New Caledonia, is from the island of Lifu, and he's a Jehu man.
Thank you very much. Now, you have a Bachelor of Science with honours from Australian National University, and you're interested in positively influencing policy and programs relating to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, particularly in relation to water and land rights. Can you please tell us more about your specialisation?
Yeah, so that's correct. I studied at the Australian National University in Canberra on Ngunnawal Ngambri country, and I graduated with a Bachelor of Science with first class honours specialising in environment. And the collaborative honours project was working with traditional owners in the top end of the Northern Territory. But my research question was, what are the opportunities for Indigenous peoples in the Northern Territory to lead and manage land and water research on country? And so I'm really looking forward to studying at the University of Oxford, continuing on after my undergraduate studies to focus on more environmental policy and how Indigenous peoples can contribute to Australia's net zero target and ensuring that Indigenous livelihoods on country and their aspirations are included in any programs or policies that are developed.
That sounds very profound. Where did you get the inspiration? How did you find your area of study?
So as a child, I grew up in remote locations, first in New Caledonia with my dad, in Kanak villages. And then when we returned to Australia out on country in Arnhem Land, near my grandfather's outstation at Coburg Peninsula. So my childhood really developed my love for creation and seeing, you know, the important work that people do on their traditional estates and wanting to make sure that if people choose to stay on their traditional estates, that they can, you know, support themselves by working and living on country, because not everyone wants to move into the big cities and, you know, have a 9-to-5 job and have a big debt to buy a house. So that's why I really wanted to make sure that anything that I do can contribute to Indigenous aspirations for people on their traditional estates, whether that's, you know, in the cities, because that's also Aboriginal country, or out in the regional and remote places.
Mm. And you're going to continue by studying this at Oxford, if I understand correctly. Can you tell us more about the program? What's waiting for you there?
Yeah, so I chose to study the Master of Public Policy at the Blavatnik School of Government at the University of Oxford. My main reason was because of Australia's history and linked with the United Kingdom. I thought it would be the best place to understand how that process operates on that side, and then to come back and return to Australia and be able to better inform programs and policy design to ensure that it's Indigenous led and directed. Also, the program, I believe, by studying at the University of Oxford, has a more international focus. So this year our cohort alone has over 50 countries represented, and I don't think that you could get that kind of international perspective at any other location. So that was also a an attraction for me studying there. And the fact that even though it's a public policy program and I'll be able to focus on environmental policy because that's my interest, it'll be really nice to be in a cohort of so many other professionals. So there's like journalists, not only scientists, also engineers, educational professionals, people that are interested in IT and cybersecurity space. So I think it'll be really good to have that kind of breadth of knowledge to learn from, but also sharing my unique experiences being an Indigenous Australian and a Kanak woman from New Caledonia. Regarding the climate change space, I think a lot of movement has been progressed further in the Northern Hemisphere countries. So it's also a good spot to place myself to really learn quickly about what kind of things they've been doing in the climate change space and how maybe we can either learn from that or build upon that back in Australia, ensuring that Indigenous knowledges are included in that.
That sounds very interesting. What do you think the main challenges will be for you going to Oxford?
Oh, good question. I think just ensuring that I prepare myself, because I know that, you know, it is quite intensive, the program that I've chosen to do. The master's is a taught program, and in a lot of other universities, they do it over 2 years, whereas Oxford has decided that we do it in 1 year. So it's going to be really intense, but I'm looking forward to also the professional development component that the master's program offers, and just really ensuring that I can learn as much as I can and develop my skills to better place myself when I return in Australia to I guess, champion Indigenous interests, whether that be specific to the Northern Territory or Australia as a whole, and how that can contribute to Australia and give back to all Australians.
You were also awarded both the Scholar of the Year and Caring for Country at the 2024 NIDOC Darwin Awards. Can you tell us more about this award?
Yeah, I was really surprised, but one of the Larrakia staff members at Power and Water Corporation in Darwin nominated me secretly behind the scenes to be considered for the Caring for Country category and the Scholar of the Year category. And I think it was the first time they said that an Indigenous person in Darwin has been awarded two awards the same evening. So yeah, it was a beautiful surprise. My family and community were really proud. They announced as part of the introduction for the awards that I had been accepted into postgraduate studies at the University of Oxford. And yeah, lots of Indigenous mob in Darwin who were present at the NAIDOC Awards were just yelling and screaming and saying to me afterwards how proud they were to hear that news. And even like 3-4 weeks on since the awards, my family keeps getting stopped at shops with Indigenous aunties and uncles saying, oh, we heard about the awards and Malin's going over to the University of Oxford. We're so proud and it means so much to us and going to come back and help out so much for, you know, fighting for us to get things done better for us. So, yeah, I never expected that would be the outcome of just me applying to get into Oxford.
Well, Malin, I'm sure this is not the last time we hear about you. Now, these are all the questions I wanted to ask, but is there anything you would like to add?
I don't know if you wanted to like mention anything about there aren't many Indigenous, especially women in the STEM space. So like there's a lack of women in science, technology, engineering and mathematics space, but even like less Indigenous women in that space. And then when you go to like managerial positions, it's usually more men or Indigenous men in those positions, which is great. But I think, there is a definite shortfall for Indigenous women in managerial positions in the STEM fields. And that's why it's really good to see more Indigenous women not only enter STEM fields, but also then if they so desire to reach out to have leadership positions, because then that gives a role model for other Indigenous women to not be afraid to get involved in STEM fields, and also to be a role model for others to come up under them and to mentor them to, you know, positions higher up.
Did you have a role model?
I was actually mentored a lot by Zimbabwean Shona woman from Zimbabwe, the social scientist. And I feel that's really why, I could see myself, because she was a woman of colour who was so confident, you know, it really helped me to see that we can be in these places. And if you do feel uncomfortable, just really try to push through that if you're really wanting to stay in those STEM fields, because it's really important to have more women of colour and just women in general in the STEM professions. because that diversity is really needed and the different insights that we can offer because of our lived experiences.
Yeah, for sure. And what are the challenges that I would say maybe Indigenous or women of color face in this area, in the STEM area?
I guess because it's such a male-dominated space, so maybe it can feel or look a bit off-putting if you're going to meetings with, you know, other scientists and engineers and it's like 90% male in the room and you're, you know, one or two females in the room. It's getting better, but I think, yeah, it'll only get better if we have more women coming into these spaces and then other women and, you know, men championing those spaces to make it more comfortable for women of colour and women in STEM to feel comfortable and to stay in those fields.
Our interview actually is at the same time as the National Science Week. What would be your message to girls who are listening to us and maybe are interested in STEM but don't know or don't have the courage? What would you advise to them?
Definitely give it a shot and, yeah, make friends with other girls that are in STEM fields, but also, yeah, make friends and close relationships with guys in STEM fields and, yeah, just get a support network going. Yeah, and if you are a nerd or in the nerds group at school, that's totally cool. And to really push, you know, that a lot of the nerds out there have, you know, ended up like developing Apple and Microsoft. And don't be ashamed if you're really good at math and if you're really good at science, be proud of that and just make that, yeah, your own.
Thank you
so
much.
And you'll eventually find your people, whether that's, you know, not at school, but you go into university or vet courses, or if you get into the workplace, you will eventually find your people. But just, yeah, the importance of making those networks and forming those strong relationships with others that also help you when times get tough, that you have people you can reach out to and trust.
Will you have such a support group in England or at Oxford, or will you have to find your own group there?
I know through Aurora Education Foundation, we've already got a really good network of the support people with other scholars that are currently at the likes of Oxford and Cambridge or have been previously studying there. So, yeah, we have a good support network already through the Aurora Education Foundation. And then also being an alumni at the Australian National University, there's quite a few ANU alumni that are either there currently or going to start the same year as me. So there's also another Indigenous ANU alumnus, Lily Island, who's the sixth Indigenous Rhodes Scholar that's travelling over to start her master's program this year. So I'm looking forward to, yeah, having quite a few of us Indigenous graduates at the University of Oxford to support each other.
Yeah, for sure. And when are you leaving? When is the course starting?
The course start date is 30 September and it will go until next year. And then graduating November 2025.
So that's pretty soon. Man, safe journey and good luck with your studies.
Thank you.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.